This podcast is brought to you by Underwriters Laboratory, Workplace Health and Safety.
So the first title we're going to release is more informational for organizations, and it's really designed to help educate the entire population related to the new view of safety. So we get into looking at how the best-in-class organizations are utilizing these techniques to drive improvement, but ultimately set up the rest of the content that will be coming online at the end of the first quarter. This first module will be available for free, and we'll announce soon when you're able to access that content as well as where. Thank you.
This cool stuff's available at Underwriters Laboratory, workplacehealthandsafety.com. Think about it, you guys. They're great sponsors, and thank you for doing that. And now, let's get on with the podcast. Everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm your host, Todd Conklin. I'm glad you're here. It's going to be a really good day. Today, I'm really excited. It's a little longer podcast than normal, so gird your loins, whatever that, I'm not really sure what that means, actually, but whatever it is, gird them. Gird, take your loins and gird them, because I got permission from David Merlo and the people at NERC, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, to actually record Tony Machara's full presentation on his keynote around risk during the 2016 meeting. And so that's exactly what I did. Now, the recording quality is pretty darn good, considering I've done this experiment several times, and not every time is a huge success. If you listen to the Patrick Hudson episode, I think you'll know exactly what I speak of. But this one is really pretty sexy and pretty interesting and does not need a lot of setup because, you know, Tony's going to set it up himself. So without much further ado, I'm going to jump right into this. This is Tony Machera on his keynote presentation to the NERC Human Performance Meeting 2016 in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a home game for Tony. So here it is. Without further ado, here's Tony's podcast.
I've done a lot of consulting in this area of human and organizational performance. I say that purposely because I look at your performance as an organizational issue, a system issue, and not so much an individual issue. All right, it's manifested at the individual at the level at the sharp end, but really fundamentally human performance is an organizational issue. But I've worked with a lot of managers, and I'm sure there's managers in this room. And so I apologize now. I don't want you to feel insulted by my comment, but I have run across managers who have the title or have the word manager in their title, but do not know how to manage. And particularly in this area of human and organizational performance, there's a lot of smart people in this room. You got Todd, you got Bob Edwards, you got Jake Mazalevich, you got David Bowman's in here. And we also have a celebrity, of course, Zach Woods, whose father is David Woods, and he's one of the academics, wrote the book Behind Human Error, one of the best books on the topic. And Monica Bay, Rob Fisher's in the room. So there's some people in here that understand and been working with human performance for a long time. We all have differences in our approaches. My approach is focused at a management level, and it's risk-based. And that's the mentality I'm coming from when I talk about human and organizational performance. It's a risk-based approach. But what I ran into is managers fundamentally do not know how to manage the risk that is posed by human error, human fallibility in the workplace. So that's the orientation of this particular presentation. What is risk-based thinking? Well, it's a term that I basically put to this idea that was really originally formulated by Dr. Erik Kolnagel of Denmark, and he's been one of the fundamental researchers in the European region on resilience engineering. Resilience engineering fundamentally is a European concept. You've heard yesterday of some folks have talked about
high reliability organizing. That tends to be more of an American perspective, but fundamentally the same. So there's a lot of folks in here that have different approaches to human and organizational performance, but fundamentally we are founded on the same fundamental principles. What did Neil Armstrong say at the top of the ladder when they landed on the moon? All right. Now, we all know what he said when he was at the bottom of the ladder. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But just as he stepped on the ladder, you don't remember that part. I don't think they even recorded it. But what he said was, and he was talking to Buzz Aldrin, who was the other astronaut in the vehicle. He says, make sure the door doesn't close when you leave the vehicle. That, in essence, is risk-based thinking. All right. Risk-based thinking is all about helping the frontline operator, the people who are working with the energy, working with the large sources of mass or liquids and gases, people who are working with sensitive information, give them the ability to adapt and adjust to the risks that are evident in the workplace. You heard from Todd earlier that risk is fluid. Risk, you know, so many of us do these job hazard analysis, job safety analysis. How often are those done? Once a year? Maybe once every other year? Risk changes moment by moment. And so what if you could have in your workplace risk analysts anywhere in which work is being done? Risk-based thinking creates the opportunity for everyone to be a risk analyst. What do we have to protect from harm? What are the intrinsic hazards in the work that we're about to do? So I want to pass on to you what Eric Kohlnagel and his colleagues have discovered doing the research. What do resilient, high-reliability organizations do? What are the cornerstones? In fact, that's the term that Eric Kohlnagel and David Woods and Sidney Deckers, that's the term that they use. But I've put the moniker risk-based thinking on it because it's all about knowing. It's all about knowing something. So, again, I go down to fundamentals. I got to get down to the basics. What's the vocabulary? Event. This is what I mean by an event. All right. This is harm. Event is harm to one or more assets, whether we're talking about people or products or property, whatever is of value to your organization, due to an uncontrolled transfer of energy or a movement of mass or a transmission of information. That's fundamentally what it all is. Dr. Nancy Levison is a researcher at MIT. She's done a lot of work in the safety sciences, and I'm an advocate of her approach to safety and reliability and resilience. She looks at your performance as a control problem, fundamentally a control problem. And if we don't have events, that means we're not harming things of value to our organization. All right, and Todd mentioned safety. Here's a traditional definition of safety. It's the freedom, it's an asset's freedom from unacceptable risk to harm. And I still accept that. So basically safety is a risk problem. But I also like this concept of resilience. And that's a term that's being used more and more often in this particular domain of what we're talking about. Resilience, the ability to succeed under varying circumstances. Risk is dynamic. Work situations, work contexts change moment by moment, all right? And so this idea of being able to succeed when things are changing is important for the frontline workers. Risk-based thinking will help you do that. Now, I'm going to quote something from David Woods, Zach's father, out of his book, Behind Human Error. He says that there are many more opportunities for events than are actually realized. There are many more opportunities for events than are actually realized. People do much more than simply follow procedures.
and follow rules. What do? They resolve conflicts. They close the gap between plans and expectations and reality, what's really happening in the workplace. They cope with surprises. They work around the obstacles. They recover from miscommunications and misassessments. So, is the frontline worker a hazard or a hero? Hazard or hero? They're both. All right? Sometimes we don't want to admit that they are a hazard. Human error is real, and it's happening every day. How often people make mistakes? All right. There's a number of research I've done on that, but the one I hang my hat on is right about 3 to 4 errors per hour. Now, how many of you flew here? Pilots. You don't want to hear this. Pilots make 6 to 9 errors per hour while they're flying. Under high risk, or I'm sorry, high tempo operations, takeoffs and landings, that error rate doubles. I'm a religious person. Takeoffs and landings, I'm usually praying for the first officer that he'll pay attention, that he'll be willing to correct the pilot. That they're talking to each other. It's real. All right. So events is what we're trying to avoid. Harm to assets that are important to us. So I want you to see a situation. This is what I encountered when I climbed Angel's Landing. Now, you've got to be quiet and listen to the footsteps. It's a silent movie of sorts, but listen to what's going on and watch. It's 800 feet to the bottom of the canyon on the right and 1,600 feet to the left. So how do you know you're safe while you're climbing Angel's Landing? How do you know you're safe? Now, this goes back to Todd's earlier question this morning. You know, when you're driving your car, how do you know you're safe? When you're climbing Angel's Landing, how do you know you're safe?
Behaviors. It's what you do. Safety is what you do. It's not, you're going to get, this is a broken record perhaps, but it's hard for people to let this thing in. Safety is not the absence of events. It is not zero events. It's what you're doing moment by moment to protect those assets. It's to make sure those controls and those barriers and those safeguards are going to work when they need to work. Moment by moment. Right? What do people do to maintain safety? So here's where I come back to the managers. Managers fundamentally didn't understand this, and I realized that I needed to put together something that was simple for the managers to comprehend and something that would help them understand what the levers were that they needed to pay attention to in operations, and then realize this is more operations focused. So what's the risk? What's the risk of harm? Right? That's what we're talking about. You always have three elements in any human and human performance situation, any work situation. Got an asset, a product, material that you're trying to transform into something of value. All right, that's what work is. Work is force over a distance. In order to apply force, what do you need? A hazard. You have to have a hazard. Every organization has intrinsic hazards built into the operation. You have to have that in order to do work. All right. So you got an asset, you got a hazard. But nothing of value happens until you do what? Work. You've got to touch it. People have got to do something in the workplace. Now, where does the risk come from? Humans create uncertainty. You know, what's the risk of getting a heads when you toss a coin, but you called tails? What's the risk of getting a heads, getting something you don't want?
50%, right? 50% of getting ahead.
Well, in classic risk, all the outcomes are known and the probabilities of each outcome is known. Does that make sense? That's classic risk. In human performance space, that is not true.
When do people make mistakes? Anytime, everywhere, and in places we don't anticipate. People introduce uncertainty. Not all the outcomes are known, and not all the probabilities are known. That's a fact of life. How many errors per hour do people make? 3 to 4 errors an hour. That's reality. That's the workplace. So managers have to be able to manage it. So we have assets, and we have hazards, and we got people doing the work. What you manage is the pluses. You manage the plus signs. When you got hazards in close proximity to the assets, you've got pathways. And when people do the work, they have to touch something. Those are that's the touch points. How do people know what the pathways are in their work? Technical expertise. You know, looking at the height on Angel's Landing, it's obvious where the limits are. It's obvious because I can see how narrow the pathway is, how narrow the treadway is, I should say. Right? And I can see the hazard on either side of the treadway. In a similar way of thinking, operators, technicians, when they do the work, they know the boundaries or the limits of assets based on what? Technical knowledge and expertise. So I'm a big proponent of training, continuing training, ongoing training from a technical perspective. People have got to know the technology that they're working with. So that's what we mean by pathways and related to the hazards and assets. Now, what do we mean by a touch point? Touch point is basically any interaction between a human and an object where that object's state, the actual status of that object has changed.
And what creates change? Work.
Right? So work is force over distance that causes a transfer of energy, causes a movement of mass, or transmission of information. And it can be done purposefully or unintentionally. And when we say unintentionally, that's usually involving human error. All right. So this is the basics, these are the basic elements or the cornerstones of risk-based thinking.
Anticipate, monitor, respond, and learn. Okay, I want you to repeat this after me. Repeat these words. Anticipate.
Monitor.
Respond.
Respond.
Learn.
Learn.
All right.
Anticipate, monitor, respond, and learn. If you want to change the way you think, change the words that you use. Or what? If you want to change the way you think, change the words that you use. Start using these words. We want to anticipate. We want to monitor. We want to respond and learn. So what are these all about? What is anticipate? Know what to expect. Know what to expect. What's the work we're going to do? What's the risk? What's the asset? What are the intrinsic hazards to those assets? You follow me? All right. So when I'm hiking on Angel's Landing, what's the asset?
Me. Me. What's the hazard? The fall. All right. Gravity.
All right. Gravity's there. All right. It's the fall. And so I've got to manage that pathway. And how am I managing that pathway?
Keeping some margin, but also I'm walking on snow. By the way, I didn't walk on snow. I did this. I hiked Angel's Landing in the summer, in August, when it was hot and dry. Right?
So that's one way to control my risk, is do it when it's dry, when the treadway is dry. But the issue here, bottom line, what if? Asking questions. We're doing this kind of work. We are talking about these kinds of assets. We're talking about these kinds of hazards. What if we make a mistake? Yesterday, Beth Lay was talking about premortals. Right? What's a premortal? Well, just postulate we failed. Well, how could it fail? Before you start the work. Many people start thinking about consequences. Human beings think they're good at risk estimates. They tend to overestimate risk or likelihoods or underestimate their ability to make a mistake. Humans are notorious for poorly estimating likelihoods. That's why people exceed the speed limit. We always think we're in control. We never think about risk in terms of outcomes or consequences. So if you can get people at this stage, start thinking about consequences of mistakes. You know, one of my pet peeves, you know, here in North Atlanta, there's a lot of Publix grocery stores, and invariably when I'm walking to the grocery store, there's going to be one or two individuals who are just driving like a bat out of hell through the parking lot. They think they're probably good people, and they think they're under control, but they never anticipate. It's unlikely they anticipate that a small child can run out from between two cars, and now you got a dead child. So we got to get people thinking in terms of consequences. Notice the verb know. That's why I call this risk-based thinking. Thinking. So what risk-based thinking does is it creates facts. Not assumptions, it creates facts. Monitor. Know what to pay attention to. What are we going to pay attention to? The assets. And assets always suffer harm when their limitations are exceeded. And so understanding what the critical parameters are. Where are those points in the activity that absolutely have to go right? Otherwise, we suffer harm. We call those critical steps. Real-time learning, operational oversight, in other ways, of monitoring. Now, there's four parts to risk-based thinking. Anticipate, monitor, and then respond. All right. This is the most important feature of risk-based thinking. If you don't do the respond, you're going to be out of business or you're going to kill somebody. Of the four elements of risk-based thinking, doing is the most important. What do you do to maintain safety? What do you do to maintain positive control of the hazard when you're trying to do value-added work? What do you do? All right? Now, I tried to create a new phrase here. In pit for you. That doesn't ring a bell, does it? That's because I made it up this morning. But in pit for you. Basically, it says, what it stands for is never proceed in the face of uncertainty. Never, 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 never proceed in the face of uncertainty. It's not necessarily conservative decision making, but if there's any uncertainty, if there's any doubt, there's no doubt, you stop. What do you stop? You stop transfers of energy. You stop the movements of mass. You stop any transmission of information, and let's make sure we can get it done right first time every time. All right? Another way of saying this, remember, safety is an asset's freedom from unacceptable risk of harm. What is resilience? The ability to what? Succeed under varying circumstances. Risk-based thinking allows you to do that. Any fans of March Madness, the NCAAs, all right? That's going on right now. And what happens when a team gets a little bit ahead and they start playing to not lose?
They lose.
And you lose. All right? Invariably, why is that? What's the other team that's behind, what are they doing? They're playing to what? Win. What's the difference? A safety mindset, the old view of human performance is playing not to lose. We play not to get hurt. When in fact, what we need is to play to win. Risk-based thinking offers that approach. How do we play to win? How do we play to get the job done right every time? That's what risk-based thinking does. All right? So I stick this in here. We still got one element of risk-based thinking to talk about, which is learn. But I want to talk about chronic uneasiness. This is our awareness of when there's an impending transfer of energy or there's an impending movement of mass or we're about to transmit information
that could cause harm if we lose control of it. And what is human error? Human error is a loss of control. Right? And so chronic uneasiness is a mindfulness. It's a mindfulness of these transfers, these movements, these transmissions, and also a mindfulness of the fact that I am a fallible human being. I can make a mistake. I am a hazard to the asset if I don't do this right. All right? So I basically borrow the phrase from the high reliability folks, this preoccupation of failure. It's intended to be a focus on learning. But I think we can use it, this preoccupation with failure, we can use it real time. We can use it real time. We do not want to fail. We want to play to win. So this idea of preoccupation with failure is anticipating where is the hazard going to come into close contact with the asset, and let's control that. Let's use some form of positive control. All right. So failure is not an option. It's an attitude. Chronic uneasiness is an emotion. Would you agree? It's a feeling. We're trying to impact the way people feel about their work. As soon as you have that uneasiness that something's not right, what do you want people to do? Well, stop, but now what? Think. Now let's get some facts. This is where risk-based thinking kicks in. The feeling leads to thinking. All right? In the nuclear industry used the phrase questioning attitude. Right? And I'm sure many of you are familiar with that concept. But if you think about questioning attitude, it tends to be somewhat general and vague. We just want you to have a questioning attitude. Well, risk-based thinking, to a degree, or in a manner of speaking, is questioning attitude. But it's questioning attitude with a specific logical focus, a way of thinking. It's a structure. It's a habit of thought about risk in the workplace. And it helps you think and identify the facts associated with the work that's being done. All right, and so chronic uneasiness is the emotion. Notice it's a deep-rooted respect for the technology. How can you have that deep-rooted respect if you don't know the technology you're working with? If you don't have the technical expertise, and if there's one thing I can't emphasize more or enough, is the need for technical expertise. I've worked with some industries who hire very intelligent people and then put them on the workplace, and they'll go around with a qualified person, and then once they've done it one time, they're signed off. Now you're qualified to go do it. There's really no classroom instruction, no real intensive explanation of how the systems work. And lo and behold, you got people out there. All you got to do is follow a procedure. Are the procedures always right? We know that's not necessarily true. So we have to have the so-called thinking operator. And you can't have a thinking operator unless you have the expertise. All right, I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure. All right, so what chronic uneasiness does is it kicks you out into risk-based thinking. All right. So last point. Learn. Now, the research that's been done by Eric Holnagel tends to focus only on learning from a past perspective, learning from previous incidents or previous occurrences of this activity. Well, I think you can learn real time, and I think you can learn going forward. So when I think of learning in risk-based thinking, I think of it in the domains of time, past, present, and future. Right? So we can learn from the past, we can learn real-time situation awareness, and we can, once the work is done, give people opportunity to report and explain or identify any surprises that occurred during the work activity. Work as done versus work as planned. Or work as done versus work as imagined. Were there any surprises? And I'll guarantee you, most of the time work goes well. The objectives and the goals of the work are accomplished.
But most of the time, work as done is different than work as imagined. And managers don't get the benefit of getting that information. So you want to encourage your workers to report this kind of information. Yeah, we were successful, but why were we successful? What was it about this time? What adjustments and adaptations, maybe improvisations, that's a dirty word, that we had to apply in order to get the work done or get the work done safely? Right? Learn is important. So, using risk-based thinking, I believe, the cornerstones of resilience engineering, workers create safety. They perform, they're the heroes of your organization. All right? They are constantly making adjustments. They're responding to incomplete, inaccurate information, procedures, designs, unworkable expectations. All right? They have the expertise. This is the bedrock. I refer to this expertise as the bedrock of risk-based thinking. Without it, you can't do risk-based thinking. Without technical expertise, you cannot do risk-based thinking. And then finally, chronic uneasiness, the mindfulness of these impending transfers in the workplace. We want to add value. We do not want to extract value. I like this quote from Sidney Decker. Risk-based thinking. Think of risk-based thinking as an operating philosophy. This goes back to a previous admonition earlier, or this morning. Human performance, or human and organizational performance, is not a program. Why do you want to avoid that mentality? Because people think, when you start creating a program, we tend to think there's all these requirements. Maybe there's 10 requirements. And then managers, this is the problem, is at the manager level, managers say, okay, we've got all 10 of these satisfied, we can stop thinking about human performance. Does risk-based thinking ever stop? It's ongoing by every person in the workplace. That's if you've been successful integrating it into the way you do business. Only people can hold together these inherent imperfections in your organization, in your system, who create safety through practice at all levels of an organization. But that's not going to happen until your managers catch the vision, if you will, and understand that risk-based thinking it's really fundamentally a culture shift. This is how much I believe in risk-based thinking. If you can get everybody adopting risk-based thinking as a matter of habit, consciously applying it, all of the rest of this human performance tools and all the other I can't think of the right word. I turned 63 this week. But all the other things that go along with human organization performance is just window dressing. Risk-based thinking is that effective. In fact, this is what top performers do naturally. Top performers naturally want to be effective. This is the way they think. Anticipate, monitor, respond, and learn. So key points. Top performers naturally practice risk-based thinking. They anticipate. They know what to pay attention to. They know where they need positive control, and they're constantly learning. They want to know the facts. Workers create safety by adapting. Risk is not static. It is constantly changing. It's fluid during the workday. Risk-based thinking is triggered by the creation of pathways and touch points, critical steps. And then chronic uneasiness is a mindfulness, of these transfers of energy, impending movements of mass, or transmissions of information. Technical expertise is a bedrock. Technical expertise is the bedrock of risk-based thinking. Otherwise, you can't do it. You can't do it. And don't think of your performance as a program. It's not a program. It's a way of thinking. So, just to give you context, I've given you one piece of what I think is perhaps an oversimplification of human and organization performance. But in my experience, in my own learning, these are the elements that are most important. You need control. Where? At the touch point.
got to find your hidden system weaknesses. You got to find the organizational weaknesses. You got to find the weaknesses in your management system. Where are the defenses, the barriers, safeguards, controls? Where are they missing? Where are they not robust? So you have to learn. And we just talked about risk-based thinking. It gives you the ability to adapt to risk in the workplace. So that's these three right here, to me, are the fundamentals of HOP, human and organizational performance. But managers have a big role. Managers have to do the observations. They've got to get out of their office, go into the field, watch work, watch what the workers are inheriting from them, from the managers. The workers are using the tools, the resources, the incentives, disincentives, the knowledge and skills that the organization gives them to get the work done. So managers need to get out of their offices, go out and watch work, see what's actually happening. And notice I say feedback. Feedback is two-way. Workers need feedback. Managers need feedback. All right, it's a two-way street. Training, expertise, obviously underneath the risk-based thinking, it's the bedrock. Enough said on that. And then finding managers have to integrate these concepts into their process, integrate it into the work management process, integrate it into the training, integrate it into the human resources processes, the IT process. You can use risk-based thinking anywhere in any place. That's why it's a fundamental first principle. And then they got to execute. You got to execute. What does management plan, do, check, adjust? Real basic. But it's amazing. The number of managers don't know how to manage. This still applies to human organizational performance. So, you've heard of the live long and prosper. Why are we here? Because people die and companies go out of business due to human error. Live long and prosper. And it's not original with Leonard Nimoy or Mr. Spock. It's a rabbinical blessing. Well, if you didn't know it, Leonard Nimoy was Jewish. This is what the rabbis would routinely say at the end of their worship services, I suppose. Live long and prosper. It's a blessing. So I want you to take this concept and be blessed. What is blessing? It's good. What is good? If people start thinking this way, a lot of good is going to come to your organization. Thank you very much. Questions?
That was Tony at the NERC Human Performance Conference. What'd you think? I'm telling you, this Tony man, he's crazy smart. He's nutty smart. He's amazing smart. That was actually a really nice presentation. A couple things you probably noticed as you went through. One is he showed a video of a guy with a GoPro on his head walking up a trail called the Angel's Roost, the Angel's Nest, the Angel's Platform, the Angel's Flight. And it's basically a thin little zipper of a mesa that goes up pretty high in, I think it's in Zion, it's in Utah, and it's beautiful. You can look it up, Google it, and see it. It was a great visual additive during the presentation, and it made a huge, huge impact on just thinking about risk and margins and pathways, and it was perfect. It was really a great presentation, as Tony's apt to do. Tony's just a teacher. I mean, when you think of Tony, that's what you think of. He's a teacher, and he's an early adopter and an early teacher and a thinker and a writer on sort of this new view of safety. And he does it from an applied vantage point, and it makes him pretty special. And he is. And I know a ton of you will listen to this, and that makes me super happy as well. It was a great conference. I really appreciate the NERC guys allowing us the permission to record this, and I really appreciate Tony letting us put it on the podcast. I hope you found it great. There's not much I can say other than if you're smart, listen to it again. I've listened to it 3 times, and I like it every time. Until then, learn something new every day. I bet you did today. Have as much fun as you can possibly squeeze and legally facilitate. And for goodness sakes, be safe.